Welcome to Discover Film. This is the podcast where we talk to filmmakers from the festival circuit. Today is the first Discover Film interview where I get to talk to a filmmaker I hadn't met before. Eli Stern made this great short film called Whiskey Sour. It won a grand jury prize at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, and the crazy part was we didn't know that he was still in college. In fact, we didn't know that until he couldn't attend the festival because it was too close to his finals. You can watch Whiskey Sour right now at discoverfilm.net. I highly recommend that you do that because there's going to be a lot of spoilers coming up. Time for you to get to know Eli Stern. It's good to finally meet you.
It's good to meet you.
I'm glad to be here. As you can guess, I see, a couple hundred shorts a year.
I'm sure, yeah.
And yours stands out so clearly.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So why don't you go ahead and burst a ton of bubbles right away.
Okay.
You're an undergraduate.
Yes. I am an undergraduate at Princeton University in New Jersey. I'm going to be a junior there. And, that's...
And so you made it as a freshman then?
Yeah, summer going into sophomore year I made it.
So the summer between your freshman and sophomore
yes.
year. Are you a film major?
No. And this is no offense to Princeton because I love Princeton, but they don't have the best film program in the world. I was very close to going to USC Film School.
Uh-huh.
But football recruiting, I play football. Football recruiting took me in a different path, and I was very happy with that. But so I've kind of had to push film to the side of school and do it separately and in parallel. And I take a lot of creative and writing classes at Princeton, and they have a good creative writing program there. So I've been working with them a lot.
Right, but Princeton itself totally skips film.
At the undergrad level, and I mean, I don't think I have a graduate program, but it's they just built a wonderful arts
But I'm sure like complex. if they have film classes, they're theoretical where you're watching films like scholarly,
and to be fair, there are some production classes, but it wouldn't have been the type of quality or just the technical aspects of it. They're shooting shorts on like camcorders, and and that's great for a lot of people, but I started making shorts when I was 16 or 17.
Yeah, I was about to ask, so you started in high school
and
were you always into film even younger than that?
So my mom was a TV writer, still is a TV writer. My dad was a wonderful executive at New Line and is a producer of films, so I kind of grew up on set, learning about it and being fascinated by it. And then I really started writing my first screenplay at 16. That's really when I started to get pretty serious about it. And then 17, I made my first short called 8.3. It was about this girl trying to kill all 8.3 million people in New York.
Really?
With her cell phone, yeah. I made that at a Columbia summer program, Columbia University summer program.
Right, in 16, that's like between 10th and 11th, or?
11th and
12th. 11th,
12th, and 12th,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was 17. And then, yeah, and I've been writing ever since pretty frequently. And I try to write every day.
So I'm just going to flatter you for a bit, which, sorry, I'm like almost 50, so I have no choice but to note that, so you're in high school, you got into Princeton, which means you're smart and you were actually taking school seriously.
At some points, yes.
Yeah, and you were playing football, and my hunch is maybe more than one sport. I don't know,
yeah,
you went to the Brentwood school.
I played lacrosse as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, everyone does more than one.
Yeah.
Especially at Brentwood.
Yeah.
And then on the side, you decided to pursue an art or filmmaking.
Yes, absolutely.
Like you were, I guess because of your pedigree and your parents, it was totally in the realm of, like, instead of just goofing around with it with friends shooting skateboarding videos, I want to do scripted.
Yeah.
It was single camera.
It definitely because of my parents and the environment I was in, it was less of like a hobby than I was like, okay, I'm going to really focus on this, and I'm going to really study this, and this is going to be, from an early age, I knew this is going to be what I do.
Right. So was it a really tough choice between Princeton and USC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the way Princeton does it is because of the Ivy League can't offer scholarships to athletes. So you still have to go through the admissions process. So you don't technically know until when everyone else knows. So I had committed to the process at Princeton by the time I got the acceptance letter from USC Film School. And, it was a really hard choice. USC Film School was my dream from a young age.
You can always do grad school there.
Yeah. That's definitely a possibility. My view is, like, you absolutely learn the best while making stuff. Hit the ground running.
Most of film school is just making stuff. Yeah. Using their equipment.
And then learning
from your mistakes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Although you didn't make any on Whiskey Sour, but although But by the way, you know what, as an older gentleman, I'll tell you, I think you made the right choice going to Princeton. Especially just get out of LA.
Yeah, I think that was the best part of it. I met some great people and
you'll never be sorry you went to the Ivy League.
Looking back on it, I think I made the right decision.
Cool. So you made that choice.
Yeah.
And you get to keep playing football, which is cool.
Playing football, which is great.
Done that at USC.
I could have tried. Yeah. I probably wouldn't have succeeded. That's a great balance to my life. And it provides a lot of structure. A lot of early mornings. But it's great because, I wake up before class all the time, get a workout in, and then I have 2 hours to write. And that's when I do a lot of my writing, is early morning before class.
Oh, man. And that early, your brain is already going.
Your brain's going. No one else is up to be distracting you, really. And, it's been a blessing. And the guys on the team are great. And it's wonderful.
And you know what? I wouldn't undersell how educational the lesson of teamwork is.
Absolutely.
To filmmaking, because Lord knows on a football team,
absolutely,
it's not about one person's ability.
You're a helmet in a sea of helmets.
And what position are you?
I play safety.
Safety.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And
that's the smart man spot.
Smart man spot. QB. Yeah. I played quarterback in high school, and then they transferred me to safety. It's a very humbling experience. Because
going from high school to college,
that was a great thing for me. I mean, everyone on that team was the best player in their area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you come in and you're like, wow, there's a lot of good players here.
You were the QB at the Brentwood School, which is like a killer. Man, that, I'm sure that was a great year.
Yeah, it was a great year.
And your senior year was probably one you'll write a script about someday.
Hopefully.
but then you get to Princeton. I suppose you're not the starting safety.
No. I was struggling to play special teams freshman and sophomore year. And, that does wonders for humility. And
you didn't quit, which says
didn't quit.
Too.
Thought about it a lot.
I mean, without scholarships, it's totally up to you, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a lot of people do that. And got to respect your decision, but I think I don't think I could have respected myself the same if that's the decision I made.
Well, you clearly are dedicated. All right, so your whole freshman year, you're thinking about making a film during the summer?
My dad has a friend. He runs this program called Manhattan Film Institute, MFI, and every summer it's a two-week program for filmmakers. Really, just it's like a platform for filmmakers just to make their film, and they provide cinematographers, they get actors, and they get locations and equipment. So I knew I was going to do that between freshman and sophomore year. I knew I was going to go. It's in Montauk, New York. I knew I was going to go and do that. And they either as a director. They let you write your own script, or they will provide a script for you. And I wanted to be a writer director. I want to be a writer director, so I was going to write my own script. And I have these bank of ideas. You carry a journal around, you do some brainstorming, and I've had this for a while. And I had kind of like the very simple line: "A career hitman goes to kill the devil." And I never really knew what that was going to turn into. I thought it was a book at first, maybe a feature. And then I started to try and condense it to 5 minute short, whatever it was. And
because of that program,
I was trying to form what I was trying to think, like, what could be shootable but also really fun and different. And it took me about 5 or 6 months to write that whatever, 7-page short.
but you knew the whole school year that you were going to do that summer.
And yeah, in October.
And you chose that idea. Uh-huh. You were like, okay, I'm going to do the devil thing.
Yeah.
Hitman devil. And so you had enough time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was, by the time summer rolled around, I was very, very familiar with these characters and the look I wanted. And obviously when you get there, the collaboration turns that on its head. But I did a lot in the pre-production phase and the development phase that I'm really happy about. And I mean, the script changed a lot. It started as like a very kind of commercial, like shoot for coverage back and forth, which was going to be fine. But the head of MFI, Tony Spiridakis, a great writer, producer, he was like, you know what? This is great. This is wonderful. But I feel like you're holding back. Just let loose. Like, write whatever the heck you want. And just let loose. And just some nasty stuff came out. And it worked great.
So is that like the stuff with like the affection between the devil and the dead hitman?
The affection stuff.
And the gun in the mouth.
The gun in the mouth, but also just like...
Because there is a sexual tension in that.
Oh, absolutely.
And was that not in the earlier drafts?
It was not in the earlier drafts. Right. I mean, and that really developed when I worked with my actor, Ariel, who's unbelievable.
Yeah, who you gave a... So that program, was casting sort of handled... Through yes, the program? Like, you didn't have to go find actors as much as there was a pool to choose
from? There was a pool to choose from, correct.
Oh, wow. Because, I mean, your actors are so good.
They're great. And, like, I got so lucky. And I think Tony and I talked a lot about how this has potential to be really, really great. So I think I spent a lot of time trying to get the best team I possibly could and get a great support system. And my director of photography was unbelievable. Still keep in contact with him. He's Thomas Taher. He's great. So a lot of that sexual tension came. Ariel and I were spitballing, and he won't be mad at me for saying this. He's kind of a psychopath, and he just so bought into it, and a lot of that came from us working together on that.
Yeah. But also as director, you set him free.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I the minute I met this guy, I was like, okay, you go do your thing. Let's fight. Let's work with this energy.
Right. You saw like this gentleman can be a charming, compelling, different devil.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is great vision on your behalf to spot that.
Thank you. And he was unbelievable. So, but a lot of the dialogue, the harsh dialogue, who do you fuck? You know what I mean?
Right.
That came with like the letting loose in the character.
Right. So in a way that was being workshopped.
Absolutely.
Did you have both actors at that point?
No,
or
no,
just
no.
Him?
None of the, in the writing process, I didn't have the actors.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that was written though. Right. So that wasn't your actor. That was
the
you.
Dialogue.
Yeah.
The dialogue
was already written.
Yeah.
You're giving him a lot of credit, but you wrote,
I wrote the sexual.
You wrote, and you wrote. You know, it's such a great line because it's so open for interpretation when someone says, "Who do you fuck?"
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's got a gun, so I mean, there's so many ways to look at that.
Yeah, and I think that was like that's my favorite thing about shorts. Really, is that like. Everyone has a different opinion on it, and a lot of people can argue and talk and discuss about it. And I didn't want to give people answers, or I just wanted to kind of hit them over the head and be like, all right, figure it out now. But that dialogue, actually, I have to give credit to some of my friends on the football team who are completely ridiculous and always talk like that, and they give these ridiculous kind of no-win scenarios. And I think that was the point of it a lot, is like, no win, you can't win.
Yeah, no, that is, yeah. Doesn't he say something along those lines?
He says, no matter what you choose, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, wow, that's actually a pretty philosophical life view.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. My parents always say, when they're asked about the short, they're like, "Why? I didn't know he's such a happy kid. Like, why does he tackle material right, like this?"
That is actually a fair question. I mean, I'm sitting there in a theater with your family,
yeah.
You know, with a greatly made film, but something that wouldn't make most parents
no.
like they can't invite all their friends over and say, "Let's watch yeah. my son's short." I mean, they could if their friends are really cool.
Yeah,
and I'm sure some of their friends are cool enough.
You know, and they're very supportive of the whole thing. And I think I try and not block myself off from any kind of narrative. It just so happens that my first two shorts were about murder and death and maybe that's me getting out of my system, but
either that or you have like this great instinct that, if it's not a life and death situation, it's not very screen worthy.
Yeah, and especially with shorts, stakes have to be really high to kind of invest in. And I believe in the shock factor, especially when you have 5 minutes on the screen. You kind of have to shock people into interest.
Grab them. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You grab them. Yeah, you can't really grab them with a soft conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I think it probably will evolve as I look at longer projects, hopefully.
Yeah, well, you know. So since Whiskey Sour, have you been working on a lot of other scripts?
Yeah.
Have you shot anything?
I just shot a music video for my friend, Natasha Huntley, who's wonderful. And it was a pop music video, so it was definitely visually challenging, but I'm definitely more interested in narrative. So I've written a TV show, I've written a TV pilot that's shopping around right now. I'm working on a longer short as we speak. It's kind of in like a Coen Brothers-esque type tone.
You have good taste, because what I forgot what we talked about before I turned on the audio was you know, so you use Stuck on a Feeling.
Yeah.
And there's a nice, there's in no way are you derivative of mm-hmm. Tarantino, because he hasn't done anything like this.
Mm-mm.
But you absolutely capture that vibe.
Yeah. He's definitely a big influence on
me. Yeah. And if your influences are Tarantino and the Coen brothers, I think I know a lot of people who are going to enjoy your work.
Yeah. I'm a big Coen brother fan, big Tarantino fan. Paul Thomas Anderson. Edgar Wright, I think those are probably my biggest influences. Ethan Coen went to Princeton, so I have a big affinity for him.
There you go. Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Philosophy major at Princeton.
Yeah. Oh, well, that explains some things.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does.
And, I didn't mean to move away from Whiskey Sour so fast, but so the production process...
Mm-hmm.
Was just because of that program, it was just pretty effortless, or
no. So it was a 2-week program. So we spent a lot of time in pre-production, working with actors, storyboarding, whatever. We had 5 hours to shoot Whiskey Sour, and we had 21 camera setups, which is unheard of.
Yeah,
and that was a stressful 5 hours. I mean, we had to shoot. We shot morning for like dusk, so we had some stuff to put up, and my poor cinematographer, he's running around like trying to set up these camera shots, and I mean,
yeah, and also I mean it's well lit, so it's not like you didn't take time to set lights.
Well, so
we set up too, right?
Yeah. So what we did was, and we talked about this because we knew we were going to be crunched on time, because I wanted all these shots. I took out like 8 of them, and I still was 21 camera setups. What we talked about is he was going to do his best to light the room, and then we can just move the camera around. And we did that pretty well, and we only had to move lights 3 or 4 times. I can't speak highly enough
right.
of him.
Well, you had the good fortune to be working with pros.
Oh, absolutely. And
yeah.
It couldn't have happened without all of them. I mean, technically, I don't know a lot about cameras. I know enough to get by, but you know, I wouldn't have been able to light that or shoot that without him at all.
But so, yeah, well, I mean, well, now that explains why it looks infinitely better than a student film where it's all classmates doing the lighting and the camera
work. Correct. He's a true professional, and that's why it looks so good. And I got really lucky, I mean, with the whole program and with Tom.
But did you like the other stuff that other people in the program did?
Yeah, no, I mean, there was some really, really cool stuff. Tom actually DP'd for this other film that was a wonder. The whole film was one shot. And it was beautiful, and the actors are incredible. They have great acting teachers there, so a lot of great actors come to work with these teachers, Bob Krakauer and Wendy McKenna, who are very popular New York acting teachers. And I met a lot of really talented people there, and a lot of the films are really, really well done. Just they didn't really take it in the direction that I took it.
Well, and your performances are so good.
They're really, really great.
I mean, what was on the page was clearly great, and then they just really took it to another level. Actually, I was going to ask you because I rewatched it recently so that we could talk about it. And one of the things I love too is your hitman starts in with the Christianity. I mean, when he hits this guy with the "I'm like the judgment of like God" kind of vibe, which shows that he's sort of a, I think it's your way of almost mocking that.
Yeah,
that shows up in films all the time.
Yeah,
and then he really gets his just due for his you know, you even have that cross hanging.
Yeah, that was some good prop design there.
Yeah. But I mean, you gave those actors just such a playground to have fun in.
Yeah, no, I think they had a really good time. And Ariel and I talk about doing stuff all the time. Like, we really just trust each other. And
does he hit you up to expand this one?
He has. He definitely has, and I've thought about it, maybe in the future. I love how it sits on the screen right now, and I wouldn't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to stretch it thin.
Yeah, exactly. I want to make sure that I have truly enough narrative behind it to warrant a longer one.
So you can promise to make him a serial killer or something in the future. Yeah. He doesn't have to be the devil every time.
Yeah. No, we've talked a lot about a lot of different projects, and I'm sure whatever I do next, he'll be in it somehow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He'll be your John Goodman.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Or, he's amazing. And he was just in, he just had a guest star in, what's that? The Batman TV, Gotham.
Oh, Gotham.
Yeah, he just had a guest star in Gotham. He's been in Blue Blood. I mean, he's really
talented. So when you get to see, when you see him in something, you're like, that's my guy.
That's my guy, yeah.
That's my guy.
Yeah, no, totally. He's a great friend of mine.
Great. Great. Cool. All right, so besides the other stuff, are you definitely going to go to a graduate film school, you think? Or do you not even need it?
I don't know if it's a matter of needing or not needing. Ideally, my career would be at a place by the time I graduate where I didn't have to do that. I could.
Well, if TV shows are being shopped right now.
Yeah.
And,
I mean.
You've got this. I assume Whiskey Sour, did you have a great festival run with it?
We did have a pretty good festival run. I think it did 10. Went to 10 international film festivals. And, won a couple grand jury awards. And, yeah, it was very successful. And a lot of industry professionals saw it and loved it. It's hard to really get work off of one short, or to get representation off one short.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it sparked a lot of interest, which is great.
And it's a great calling card for the future when you're in a meeting or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, what can you do? And you can be like, well, look at this short.
Yeah.
And look at what I pulled off. And then when they hear how old you are when you did it, they'll probably just start, you know, kissing your butt.
Hopefully one day. We're going to have to see how it plays out. I have to graduate first, or else my mom will kill me.
I understand that kind of parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely graduation first.
Yeah, and yeah. I get it's that. It's hard to sell the Bill Gates, Zuckerberg vibe.
Yeah, it's hard. For every Bill Gates, there's 3,000 that didn't make it.
Yeah, or 10,000. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
Once we graduate, we'll see. I'm doing a lot of writing, so hopefully I'll be able to build up a portfolio. of usable, workable stuff. So,
right. In your mind, are you primarily a writer, or are you a filmmaker and you just consider, you know, writing step one?
It's hard because it's hard to shoot stuff right now because I'm in school. It's hard to actually physically shoot stuff, but it's easier to write. I mean, I take my laptop everywhere, I write everywhere. So right now I'm definitely more of a writer and I'm okay with that. I love that.
And because the level of crew you had and whatnot, there's no temptation for you to just take a smartphone and use its 1080p to like grab something with your friends, because that's just not what you need to do.
Yeah. I've had that temptation and I've talked with friends and we're like, oh, we should shoot this right now. I guess maybe this is just in my own head and I should really just get around it, or maybe I kind of screwed myself with the quality that I'm like,
right, starting obsessed with MFI.
Yeah. But like Buzzy Focus makes me crazy, and like pixelated, and it's like bad light, like low lighting. If like the iPhone camera can't pick up low lighting very well, that little stuff really makes me angry. It doesn't make me angry. It ticks me off. And
right. In your own work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I probably wouldn't even notice it in other people's work, but in my own work, it really kind of blocks me from stuff, and I probably have to get around that somehow, or just keep making really expensive shorts.
You know? Well, I assume this one, in a way, because it was part of that program, I don't know, I assume the budget was more handled.
Absolutely.
You know, it wasn't like you had to, man, to do that same thing here.
It'd probably be close to $5,000.
Yeah, or so, and plus time to cast and time to find crew and time to find locations, all kinds of.
Yeah, I didn't have to pay for locations. I mean, they had the grip truck, they had it all. So I really got lucky.
Yeah. Well, also, you are starting. You have a great starting point.
Great starting point. Yes.
Yeah. Which makes you even smarter for going to Princeton.
I hope that's the case. We'll see.
Cool. Anything else on the horizon for you, or as far as
on the horizon? Film
or not in film? I mean, are you like? You're determined to end up in the entertainment industry, I assume.
Yes, I am. I've opened myself up to opportunities within the film entertainment business. That's like whether it's a studio executive or a producer. I've thought about those possibilities, and I'm excited about those possibilities. But I truly want to be a writer director.
I was going to say, it'd be hard to picture you as a non-creative.
Yeah.
Because you would probably...
probably piss some people off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it'd be difficult for you to realize, well, we're greenlighting something that I think I could have done better.
Absolutely. You know. My dad gets annoyed sometimes. He'll bring a script home. I'm like, I can direct this, Dad. I'll direct the crap out of this. It's like, Eli, you're in college. How are you going to direct this?
Yeah.
But I think...
Does he ever say, do you realize what that would make me look like if I handed it to my... my son who's too young to vote?
he's definitely hyper aware of that, but still my parents helped me so much. And I mean, my mom taught me how to write, and they're so...
Did she she actively worked with you?
Absolutely. I mean, she...
Starting from when you were young enough just to say, I want to write a thing about a bear that meets a rabbit.
I think the first thing... I mean, and my mom will be the first to tell you, I couldn't write a sentence in, like, sixth grade. The first thing I think I wanted to write... I wanted to write a book about, superhumans. And how every famous person ever has been... a breed of superhuman, and it's kind of like Heroes. I want to write this book. So my mom and I was 12. My mom and I sat down and she walked me through it, and she walked me through outlining and, you know, writing and sentence structure and grammar and all that stuff. And
right. So she didn't say just start writing. She said, okay, if you want to write a book, first you have to plan it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and she's, I mean, she reads all of my drafts of everything and gives me notes. My dad gives me notes, and I couldn't be, I mean, they're incredible.
So were they giving you notes on Whiskey Sour?
So my mom liked the first version a lot. And she helped a lot with that one. And
so she read Who Do You Fuck?
Yeah, she did read
Who and Do You she Fuck. Was like, good going. I like it.
Well, at that point, she was like, okay, this is going off into your own thing. You should take this in your own direction. I don't want to pull this in a different direction. So she kind of let me take it off that way. And, yeah, I mean, she ended up liking it, but I definitely separated from her advice a little bit on that one. Yeah, I couldn't imagine my mom advising to write that in there.
Yeah, and your mom going, you know, I like it, and you need more fucks in
there. Yeah, exactly. You need some trannies.
It's tough.
Yeah.
My mom won't like my saying this, and I might have to cut it out, but she always gives me credit for her using the F word all the time.
Really?
By the time I was in high school, because she's like, you started saying it, so I said it to try to make it, try to shock you, and it didn't work. It didn't fucking work.
My mom was a comedy writer, and she worked in a room, in a writer's room, and that is a hard place to not cuss.
Right.
So she
was she at CBS on Radford?
She was at NBC.
Oh, NBC.
Yeah.
Oh, over in Burbank.
Yeah. She was at NBC. She was an executive at NBC. She wrote for The Ellen Show and.
Yeah, that was Sitcom Factory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, she was the vice president of comedy, whatever, at NBC for a long time.
Wow. Yeah. So not just a writer.
Not just a writer. No, she was actually an incredible executive. And I ruined it by coming.
Oh, so she backed out.
She wanted to raise me, which I can't fault her for. I'm very grateful.
Are you an only child?
Only child.
Oh, yeah. So all the eggs are in that basket.
All the eggs. Yep. No pressure.
No. Well, you seem to be doing all right with the pressure. I wouldn't say that you're risking disappointing your parents with your Ivy League education and your award-winning films. Just
hope
I'm just being judgy and thinking your parents are really fucking proud of you.
They are, and we have a great relationship.
It's good to hear. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, it's nice to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're proving that someone from a solid home with supportive parents can have an edge.
Yeah. I think that's like what I've struggled with most is, you know, you see all these edgy filmmakers and they've had really tumultuous pasts and I mean I feel for them and I get that, and I've struggled a lot. I'm like, do I really have that much to say? Like, do I really have the right to say some of this stuff? And I came to think, like, you know what, we're all in that same journey, we're all in the same boat. Like, if you have something to say, you got to say it.
Yeah. And the Coen brothers are from suburban Midwest, yes. Minneapolis, right? Yeah. So it's like...
And they have an edge.
They've had an edge their whole careers. Even though I think I've heard them say that they just consider themselves comedy writers.
Yeah. And I want to get to that point where I consider... I mean, Whiskey Sour is truly like kind of a black comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kind of pitch black comedy. So I want to get to that point.
I'm going to be completely honest. When Eli left, I had to text my girlfriend and tell her, holy shit, we just had this extreme stud in our house. But seriously, the guy's going to Princeton, he's making great films, he's playing football there. It's kind of ridiculous. And by that I mean, I could not think more highly of this guy. Alright, well, at this point you really should go to discoverfilm.net and watch Whiskey Sour. After all, Eli's probably going to end up running this whole town, so you might as well see the short he made during a summer break from college. All right, you can go to discoverfilm.net to learn all sorts of cool things. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.